It's time for Talking.Golf. Talking.Golf is a regular podcast featuring newsmakers from the world of Wisconsin golf. And now, here's Rob Hernandez with this week's guest.
And we welcome you to Talking.Golf. Rob Hernandez here, deep into the month of May, almost to the month of June. And I tell you what, golf season in full swing. The weather is in full swing. And that means a lot of people are out playing golf. That means there's a lot of people out there who might need the use of a caddy. And we're going to talk today to Phil Poletti. He is the executive director of the Caddy and Leadership Academy here in Wisconsin. And he makes it possible for kids to get into the caddy business. Phil, first of all, thanks for joining us here on Talking.Golf.
Well, thanks, Rob. I really enjoy spending time with you.
Well, the Caddy and Leadership Academy is something that you started well over 10 years ago now, I guess 2014. Why don't you give us kind of an overview as to what the program is, its history, its purpose, and why you decided that you wanted to give kids the opportunity to get into the caddy business?
Yeah, well, we started, you're right, in 2014, but we started really small with just one small chapter in Kenosha. I wish I could say I came up with this idea on my own, but like every good idea, I stole it from the Solich brothers, who started a similar program out at Common Ground Golf Club in Colorado. And they were really the inspiration behind me starting my program. And I had an opportunity to meet with George Solich, who is an Evans Scholar and a very successful businessman. And he kind of, you know, prodded me a little bit, saying, look, you know, if you'll start this program, I'll help you underwrite it from a funding standpoint. So I felt like that was something I really needed to do. And so we started small. I was still working full time in another industry, traveling around the world. And we, you know, made a lot of mistakes and you know, just learned from our mistakes. But it really, we really got some traction going in 2020. I retired from the other industry, decided to do this on a full-time basis, started very aggressively expanding our program during that period of time. And we now have essentially 8 locations around the state of Wisconsin. And we have a total of about 100 students in the program. And, you know, I started it because I, you know, was very fortunate through my experience being a rules official. I was able to get involved with the Western Golf Association, Evans Scholar Foundation, and I saw the kind of impact caddying could have on a young person's life. And obviously the biggest payoff is being awarded a full 4-year tuition and housing Evans Scholarship. And I was very moved by the kind of impact that that has had on students. And also, I really believe the best way to play golf is on foot. And that's the way the game was designed to be played. And really, there's no better way to play golf than with a caddy, especially a good caddy.
Right.
And, you know, this just has so many extra benefits associated with it that I just felt like this is something to help bring back some of the grand traditions of the game, and that's walking and having a caddy. So it was really for all those reasons, but mostly because it could have such an impact on a young person's life. And, you know, and not what, what I found really interesting about this, Rob, is it's not so much, I mean, the scholarship is extremely important, and right, we are very proud of the success that we've had, which we can talk about in a little bit, but there is no better summer job for a young person than caddying. You're outside, you're off your phone, you're interfacing with adults that, you know, that you would never have an opportunity to spend 4 uninterrupted hours with that adult. And really, for the first time, a lot of these students, it's the first time they're spending that period of time, that 4 uninterrupted hours with someone that's not a parent or a grandparent or a teacher. And they're just exposed to, you know, so many different people, and largely very successful people from a lot of different walks of life. And that's just, there's great benefit in that. And we really encourage the students to take advantage of that opportunity, and talk to them and ask them to talk to them about their journey and their story and what, you know, successes they've had, what failures they've had, what they learned, things like that. And so, I can't think of any other job for a young person that provides those kinds of opportunities.
No, and we're
So.
seeing that, Phil, in the fact that some of our destination courses with the Caddy programs at Sand Valley, Erin Hills, the Kohler courses, those are places that, it's not more than just what we're talking about here. There's people in there that are going to be career caddies. And
Right.
I see the ones that are doing it right are not only making the income they need to survive, but they're also making connections so that they can maybe expand. There's a lot of people who of our caddies in Wisconsin that'll caddy in warm weather places in the winter to help bridge the gap in our season. And you don't do that just by walking into a golf club and saying, "Can I get a caddy job?" A lot of it is you got to know somebody who can get you in to get that caddy job. And beyond that, there might be opportunities outside of the world of caddying that might connect you back with the person that you're looping for. And I think that's what's so fascinating about this is these young kids can get a taste of that. And I think the locations that you've partnered with are places that you can grow together as a caddy. And I guess that's, let's look at, where you're at, where you're located, and how someone might get involved.
Yeah. So we are partnering with the club at Strawberry Creek in Kenosha, where I'm a member. We're partnering with Meadowbrook Country Club in Racine. We're partnering with Westmore Country Club in Brookfield. And then two of the Legends clubs, the Legends at Merrill Hills, and then also the Legends at Bristlecone Pines. We're also at Oconomowoc Golf Club, the club at Lac La Belle, Chiniqua. In Heartland, and then also the links at Lasonia. So it's a real mix of high-end golf clubs, what I would call mid-level golf clubs, and then obviously a public course up at Lasonia. And as I indicated, we typically have the area in Waukesha, Oconomowoc, Heartland, those students out there. We have about 27 of them. They can caddy at any one of those clubs. We manage it through an app. And so if somebody's from those clubs is looking for a caddy, they just request that when they make their tee time, and that notification goes out to the students, and they can pick up the loop and then caddy. But obviously at Lasonia, Meadowbrook, and Strawberry, they're just those caddies are assigned just to that golf course. But you're right, Rob. I mean, many of our students have gone on after they graduated. Based on the contacts that they've made caddying, they're doing internships for some of the business people, and that's wonderful connections that they make. And it's amazing how the members get very invested in these
Oh,
students.
yeah.
They want to know, hey, how's so and so doing? And oh yeah, how's she doing in her journey to become a dentist? And so they're it's really it's a neat connection to watch, actually, because there's really isn't any other, opportunity out there for that to happen.
What is the age range, Phil, for kids in the program?
Yeah, we like to recruit freshmen in high school because the Evans is very strict. They won't even take seriously a candidate that hasn't had 100 career loops. And it's easy to do that if you're in a market like Chicago, where a lot of the clubs require caddies if they're available. At our locations, the caddies are not required. We incentivize by paying the caddies base fee, so it's not very expensive for the members to take those caddies. But the oh, so it's and I kind of lost my train of thought here for a second, Robin. I apologize. You can maybe edit
Well,
that out.
and yeah, but let's stop right there. There's kind of two components coming together. Your program raises money to help underwrite the cost of that caddy fee, which kind of alleviates that from the club member, and as you said, encourages them to take the caddy instead of the cart, instead of just walking by themselves, and then from the and they're only on the hook maybe for the tip afterwards, and then from the caddy perspective. You have if you do a good job, they're going to want to do that again and make it a good experience. It really is a two-way street, and it's kind of the nature of every relationship, I guess, is that if it's good, you'll keep doing it.
Right, exactly. And that's what we, when I tell the students, I said, look, there is no better way to play golf than with a good caddy, but there's no worse way to play golf than with a bad caddy. So
Yeah.
it's up to you. And one of the first things I say to them during training is I take them out and I point to the motorized golf carts, and I say, what are those? And they look, they have a very blank look on their face. And I said, that's your competition. They don't, they're comfortable. They ride nice. You can
Yeah.
listen to music. You can bring drinks. I said, you have to provide a level of service that's better than that. So people will want to continue to take it. But anyway, I remembered now what I was talking, what I'd forgotten before about the minimum number of loops
All
that,
right.
that Evans likes to require. So that's why we subsidize it, is to make sure, and we start young, so they have at least 3 full summers to achieve that bare minimum of 100 loops, because Evans, they want to see students that are committed caddies. I mean, obviously academic excellence is a prerequisite. Demonstrated family financial need is a prerequisite, but they want to see someone that is committed and caddying when, anytime a loop is available, those kids are
Right.
out there caddying. So we really try to push that. And we've had lots of students early on, and I tell them, very early on, the caddying, this is a commitment, and it's a program, and it's a year-round commitment. It's a summertime commitment, because you have to be available to caddy and take those loops when they're presented to you. But it's also a school year commitment. You have to maintain your grade point average in
Right.
school and maintain lots of curricular activities, things like that. So it's really a, it's a year-round commitment to be part of this program, and we're very selective on who we let in. We don't, we screen it. We do a very thorough application process. And for example, Rob, this year I had about 20 new openings for students this year, and last count, I think I had close to 170 students apply.
Wow.
And so I was very busy over the winter and spring, going through all the applications. We require them to write an essay. We require them to, do an interview. Sometimes it's on site, person to person. Other times it's through a Zoom call. I always have their parents on the interview to let them know exactly what they're getting themselves into
Right.
and what kind of a commitment is required. And if they say, well, I can't caddy on weekends through the month of June because I'm in baseball and this and that, and I very gently remind the parents and the students, do you think you'll get a 4-year, if their
Right.
qualifications are there, if their grades are there, and the family financial need? I said, do you think you'll get a full 4-year tuition and housing scholarship based on your baseball ability? No. I said,
Yeah.
okay, well then, caddying needs to be your priority.
Right.
And we make that very clear. And the light goes on, especially with the parents. Like, yeah, okay, he'll be there Saturday, no problem. We can skip that game. That's not that big of a deal. And so that's the kind of, but they, get back to your original question. That's why we shoot for, freshmen in high school.
Sure.
So they have plenty of time to achieve that requirement, because as I said, Evans is getting really picky, because I mean, they're get well over 1,000 students apply for the scholarship every year nationwide. And I think this year they awarded in the 350 range,
Yeah.
which is a record,
Right. And it's a pretty good percentage of the kids that actually get that apply that get it, but you're also talking about kids that are graduating, high school, so that's one class, and that happens every year. And again, whether your competition is the golf cart or another kid at another club in Illinois or Indiana, I mean, it ultimately what I like about what you've described with the academy, Phil, is that if you can make it in the Caddy and Leadership Academy, I feel you can make it into the application process for the Evans Scholarship, which is probably why the two go hand in hand. And since you've been affiliated with the Western Golf Association and been a part of that process on the Evans Scholar side, you kind of know what these kids are walking into if that ultimately is their goal.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll hold their hand. I mean, we'll make sure, we track their applications. As a director, I have access to that, and I can see the status. And I'll make sure, hey, listen, you're still missing your essay or you're missing this. Make sure you get this in. This is the deadline. We think you have a real good chance. It's something that and also as part of our program, it's not just caddying opportunities. We do weekly leadership training classes. One of my board members is a retired executive from Kraft Foods. He designed an entire leadership training package. It's
Oh.
very interactive. It's a lot of fun. And we also do financial acumen training. We teach them all about compound interest and credit cards and all that kind of stuff. Just basic information that most kids graduate from college that they don't know how to balance a checkbook or
Right.
really understand the whole idea of personal finances. So we spend two chapters of that, and the feedback that we get from the kids is great. This really helped me understand the way the world works and the way finance works. And so it's so we tell the students, you're very fortunate to be part of our program because we think we're setting you up for some real success, A, with the education, and B, just the life skills
Sure.
that caddying teaches. I mean, I tell the kids right up front, listen, caddying is hard work. You're out there early in the morning, you're sweating, you're hustling. Sometimes maybe you're with somebody that's not a very nice person, you're learning all those lessons. It's really hard work. And what I tell them, Rob, is, and especially a lot of the young girls that are in the program that have never been on a golf course before, that are so far out of their comfort zone, and they're so nervous as a freshman, I tell them, I said, look, you're going to hate it for about the first 3 weeks, but just promise me you'll give it your 100% of your effort for the first 3 weeks, and then I think you'll really enjoy it. And it's amazing how much feedback I give. Yeah, you were right, Mr. Pelletti. I told my mom I wanted to quit, and I'm so glad I didn't because this is really fun, and I'm meeting a lot of nice people. And we have very, very few. I mean, I could, since in the last 10 years, I could probably count on one hand the number of kids that have dropped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much golf knowledge do the kids have to have coming into this? I mean, you talked about, taking them out on the course to train and be caddies. I know having played the game probably helps, but there's also a part of the process that I'm sure you can teach them to get them to where they need to be.
Yeah, that we do not require. I mean, it certainly helps. I mean, because then they don't have to learn a new vocabulary. I mean, they know what a driver is, and they know what a putter is, and things like that. But what I've found, Rob, over the years in recruiting these kids is if you find somebody that's been very active in junior golf and all this over the years and a really good golfer, chances are they would never qualify for an Evans Scholarship because their parents don't meet the family financial need
Right.
Associated with it. So it's nice to have somebody like that. But we, when we recruit, we are looking for needles in a haystack. We're looking for kids that, that are really, really smart, really motivated, and have had, lots of challenges in their life in terms of tough family situations, things like that, single moms, single dads. We've had all that. And if we can find those kids with that combination of that, that distressed family or family financial need, those are the ones we go after, whether they know anything about golf or not. And we'll train them. And that's one thing that we're really working on this year, especially. I hired a couple of interns. One of them is an Evans Scholar, a student at University of Wisconsin. She's done a great job helping train the students. We
Yeah.
give them all kinds of Western Golf produces a lot of 1 and 2 minute videos on every aspect of caddying. We have the training manual, and we just give them reps and reps and reps. And then we assign them on their first couple of loops with people that understand that they're new to caddying.
Yep.
And so even the kids that didn't have any experience whatsoever with golf, they pick it up pretty quick. They're smart, and that's why
Yeah.
they're in the
Yeah.
program, and they really adjust, some better than others, but it's the ultimate goal. And another thing I kind of try to impress upon the students is, again, this is a long term, this is not just a summer job.
Right.
This is a life-changing opportunity, and and I'd say, look, we're going to pay your base fee, and we pay them $40 for every round, and the golfer normally gives them a anywhere between a $20 and $50 tip, depending on their hustle and their attitude and things like that. But what I tell them is, I said, I want you to look at it this way, and we have a real-world example of this. Well, a young lady from Strawberry Creek that got the Evans Scholarship this year, she informed me on Saturday that she's been accepted to and is going to Marquette University on a full 4-year tuition and housing scholarship.
Yep.
Well, Marquette's almost 80 grand a year,
Yep.
and for 4 years, that's $320,000. And she
Right.
caddied 100 times. And I said, that's like getting a $3,200 tip every time you caddy. And she's, yeah, that's right. And
Wow.
so I said, that's you have to think of it in terms like that. And
Yeah.
so I use that when I, and if they end up going to Madison, which most of the kids do, over 4 years, it's probably a close to $150,000. So they'd be like getting a $1,500 tip every time
Right.
you caddy.
Well, and I worked when I was at the State Journal. I don't know if I hired him, but we worked together for a long time. Guy's name is Dave Lubach, and he grew up in the Evans Scholar House at Madison, at the University of Wisconsin at Madison, and great stories to tell. And what's really cool now, Phil, is that years later, that the people in that house will get together for Badger football games once a year, or a basketball game, or they'll meet on campus, or he'll come back to talk to this year's scholars. You're really walking into a family at the end of that path. And I also want to make sure we don't get too far down the road, because your academy is preparing kids to apply for the scholarship. That scholarship's not guaranteed, as we said, but it really, you've had great success of connecting kids with the scholarship. And what the Western Golf Association has done with the Evans Scholarship has been life-changing for so many people. And we're talking about going back decades, I mean generations. And it's kind of a house on campus with a purpose, and I think that purpose is really great and worth investing the time to get to that point.
Yeah, no question. Just a couple of stats. I think the first Evans Scholarship was awarded in 1930, and since then, it's pretty close to 13,000 students have graduated from college from the Evans. So that's amazing. They're now up to their 28th house around the country.
Wow.
Arizona State's the latest one.
Really?
But they're going to start. They're going to start accepting applicants or ex accepting students this fall. They're renovating, I think it's the oldest dormitory on campus at ASU.
Wow.
The Solich brothers were very instrumental in seeing that happen because they have their second homes out there. So I was a little bit of a part of that whole process early on. But yeah, as far as the success goes, I know it sounds like we're bragging a little bit, but it's something I am really proud of. I think in the last 6 years, we've had 32 of our students get the Evans Scholarship. And it's something that is just so life-changing. And this year, I'm pretty comfortable thinking that we're going to have 10 kids this year get it. So that would put us to 42. It's going to be 9 or 10 because I've done a lot of work talking to the students, talking to their parents, making sure that everything's lining up, and to and making sure they're getting enough loops, and making sure the students that are in need of loops, this is the summer to get them, and making it a top priority, notifying members at those clubs that, hey, here's a list of 4 or 5 students that really need loops, so we're going to make them your preferred caddy, so they're going to get the notice first that you're playing golf and you want a caddy. So we're doing everything we can to make sure that they're going to be meeting the tough criteria set by the Evans. So,
The
yeah.
as far as when I really want to make sure that if anybody that might be inclined to apply for the program, get into the program, that they kind of have a feel for what it's going to be all about. I'm trying to visualize maybe what a young person on their first day of a caddy job is looking like, and what their fears are, and how they What's the biggest icebreaker that allows them to feel comfortable not only carrying the bag, but communicating and being conversational with the person that they're working with?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. We work so hard with the students during training to ask questions and engage with the players. And we try to make the training part of it fun so they are relaxed. But we encourage them to ask the players, what's your story, what's your background, and try to get a sense of whether some golfers really want to talk and some don't. They just want you to carry the bag. And but the best way to overcome those fears with students that have really have very little experience and never been on a golf course before is just repetition, just getting them out there caddying. And we tell them, look, you're going to make mistakes. There's no question about it. You're going to do the walk of shame that we call it, where you have dropped a towel or you've dropped a head cover and you're going to have to go back and get it. But the thing that we try to impress upon the students is you're going to make mistakes, but the more you hustle and the more you show interest in the golfer on what they're doing and in trying to anticipate what their need, the more room you're going to have for making mistakes because a hustle will make up for a lot of those errors.
How about this program to me really seems to excel in breaking down barriers, removing elephants in the room. You've got country clubs. I think 7 of the 8 clubs are private clubs with what we would call VIPs, very important people. In order to be in a country club, you've had to have done something or and typically, a lot of success stories. You've got, as you described, caddies that come from, situations that are polar opposites of that. But yet here we are, and I think that's what's so great about this, Phil, is because as a country, the more we can bring people together that are different, I think the better. And in this situation, I guess, again, from that young caddy's perspective, going into an environment with people who have traveled the world, have made millions, it could be daunting, but they need to know those people are a person and can be just as friendly and personable as the caddy and vice versa. I think the person that is engaging the youngster to loop for them also needs to know that there's a lot of people out there that have great personalities, and you just need to flush it out of them and make sure they feel comfortable showing what they're truly about.
Oh, you couldn't be more right. And I'm a living example of that because, I've been very blessed in my life. I've been had the opportunity to do a lot of really cool things. And it's very easy to fall into a bubble. And working with these students and seeing what their situations are and knowing them really keeps me grounded. And I'd say that's true for a lot of people that are dedicated to helping these youth caddies. And then conversely, just as you said, these young, a lot of times culturally, they're told not to trust, people from country clubs. They're different folks and all that. But to be able to see, wow, these are really nice people. Man, this Mr. So-and-so is, a successful CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And man, he's really taken an interest in me. And so it just pays benefits on both ends of the spectrum. And for the students, it just gives them a lot of confidence that they can talk to people without being intimidated. And that is such an art today that has been lost on this younger generation. They're so focused on their phone all the time, and they don't know how to carry on a conversation. And when you're out there caddying, you're kind of forced to. And it just gives them a level of maturity. And I always tease them, so many young kids today use the modifier like. They'll say the word like 5 times in one sentence, and I'm all over them, and to not do that, to speak clearly and without using that modifier all the time, and it really has an impact. They laugh, they catch themselves doing it all the time, but it sets them apart from their peers, and it's going to help them, in future career opportunities.
All you got to do is video
Yeah.
record an interview with them and put it on closed captioning and see how often the word or like comes up in that, and
Yeah.
you will rid them of that in a heartbeat. A couple things that I wanted to get to. The last time you and I were together was just recently at the U.S. Four Ball, and you were in the scoring tent at Outlaw Course out at Desert Mountain, working with the USGA at their first major championship of the year. The last guy that I talked to coming out of your scoring tent was a kid named Charlie Stankiewicz. He grew up in Middleton, went to college at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs, and I didn't know he was in the field, didn't know that he was still playing competitive golf. And he told me this story that I said he's out at Bandon Dunes now as a caddy. And I said, "Well, how'd you wind up there?" He goes, "Well, one day got in my car and drove out there and asked if I could have a job." And to me, it is, I think it's what's great about caddying. And I've met a number of great caddies through, our tournament coverage with the WSGA, especially those up at Sand Valley at Erin Hills. Charlie going out there and now making a career of it, he gets to play a lot out there. So many doors open, and I just don't think, now he's looping though two bags, sometimes 36 holes a day. That's not what you're asking your kids to do. And I think that's important to know when you hear, when you read about caddies that are double looping, that th this you're getting your foot in the door through the Caddy and Leadership Academy. But you know what? That may not be, that may be on the table, but if you get your Evans Scholarship, it may lead you to a path that's much different. But it just goes to show you there are so many roads to take when you start caddying.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. That was quite. Did I show you the picture of the mountain lion that was parked behind our scoring
Yes.
tent?
Oh, yeah, that was the talk of the tournament there.
Oh my gosh. That,
You walked out to
that guy.
that?
No, well, in the morning when we got
Yeah.
there first thing in the morning, I think on it might have been Sunday morning.
Right.
He was parked behind there. That was pretty cool.
The shuttle driver was warning everybody about the mountain lion they saw, and then the snakes and everything. So, but
That was such a great championship. I was so crushed that Jacob and Charlie got beat in the quarterfinals.
yeah, but they almost
So,
didn't even get into match play, which
yeah,
is,
I know. I
and
know
I
they chipped
was.
in on the last hole and then got into a playoff, and that was awesome.
And
So, yeah.
you could tell Jacob was going to make that chip to get him into the into the playoff, because I think he was so fed up with them not making birdies and just, okay, we got to get here. And so that was great. And what's cool was both teams had graduating seniors, the two from Wisconsin, and then one kid that was going to be coming back this fall. So again, it's all about the experience. I wanted, before we close, Philip, for our listeners that golf at Lasonia. Because that's the one course that, it doesn't matter, anybody can play it. A lot of people are already on the tee sheet to play it this summer, because it just seems like whether you're, starting at Erin Hills and working way up to Sand Valley, Century World, or vice versa, everybody likes to stop in Green Lake. And if they do, how do they get a caddy through your program?
They can, and Lasonia is doing a great job. They're really upping their marketing game as far as the caddies go. And I would say we have limited caddies available on weekends for the next couple of weeks, and those are students that are returning from last year there, but they're still in school.
Sure.
I'm actually going up there Sunday to meet with the new group, but I have a director up there that handles everything for me. So when they make their tee time online, they can request a caddy. There is a way when they're making their time, they choose mode of transportation and they can choose caddy, and then we get notification of that, and then we assign the caddy accordingly.
Sure.
But if that doesn't work or there's some confusion there, just simply call the shop. Everybody knows what the program is. Well, we have a gentleman up there that runs that program for me, who's been there for 20 years. And he does a great job, and he will make sure that if we have a caddy available that they can caddy. And by the way, those students are trained to four caddy as well. So if you're going up there with a foursome, and you don't necessarily want to walk, they'll send out a four caddy, and they'll do a good job for you too. So.
And very lastly, if it's a young person that wants to apply to be in the Caddy and Leadership Program, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, it's so we start we open up our application portal in late January, typically every year. And if you know, we send out notices to schools and golf coaches, not just golf coaches, but the athletic directors, guidance counselors, you know, probably at 1,000 different schools throughout, you know, this area, both middle schools and high schools. And, you know, there's QR codes where the kids can scan it and it'll take them right to the application page, or they can just go to our website and there's application portals there. We actually did and spent a fair amount of money doing this. We put together like a 4 or 5 minute recruiting video. And it was really well done. Matt Ginella, who used to work for the Golf Channel. It's a long story how all that came together, but he came out to Meadowbrook last fall, and Western Golf helped underwrite this. And we did, you know, we took probably 8 hours worth of videos and interviews and everything, and we, you know, cut it down into about a 5 minute recruiting video, and then we posted that on our website, and that's been really helpful because kids can, you know, listen to other kids tell their story about how, you know, how caddying has impacted their life and things like that. But anyway, so we open up the application portal around the end of January, and I take applications until April 1st. You know, I was a little bit lenient this year. We had some late applications come in, but we just happened to have room at some of our locations. But typically, I have a hard stop by April 15th, April 20th. I make all the decisions and let the kids know so we can start training in early May. But you know, it's very just caddyacademy.org is the website, and there's application portal links all over the website to apply. And there's, you know, that I think the recruiting video answers a lot of questions. And talks about, you know, what the end game is. The end game is the Evans Scholarship.
Well, Phil, it's exciting stuff. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Yeah.
Always good seeing you, and I'm sure we'll see you
Yeah.
on the tournament trail this summer.
Yeah, well, thanks, Rob. You know, this is as I told you out in Arizona, this is my favorite subject, so I'm always happy to talk about it.
Awesome. That's Phil Poletti.
All
He
right.
is the executive director of the Caddy and Leadership Academy and a rules official with the WSGA, past president of the WSGA. That should have been at the top of the show, but Phil, appreciate the time. That's Phil Poletti. I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf.